This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, America. This is Washington Watch on Friday, July 15, in the year of our Lord, 2016. We're coming to you live from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm your guest, Ken Klukowski, Senior Counsel and Director of Strategic Affairs at First Liberty Institute, the largest law firm in the United States exclusively dedicated to protecting religious liberty. Check out what we're doing there, fighting for your rights, at firstliberty.org. Also, senior legal editor for Breitbart News Network, exposing the truth about the liberal left and telling you the real news that the mainstream media tries to ignore. Find out what's really going on in your nation and your world at Breitbart.com. But I'm not speaking to you today on behalf of First Liberty or Breitbart. Instead, I'm speaking to you as a husband, a father, and a citizen blessed to live in the greatest nation in the history of planet Earth, the United States of America. We're going to be talking about faith, family, and freedom, and we want you to join us. And today we are going to be focusing on the presidential election of 2016 and the breaking news coming out across the Atlantic right now of an attempted military coup from Turkey. We're going to be talking national security, we're going to be talking terrorism, and we're going to be talking about the different visions that presidential candidates are putting forward in terms of the direction that they want to lead our nation and their different promises to keep us safe when someone will be elected as the 45th president of the United States next January 20, 2017. Now, I'll tell you, given the subject matter that we're going to be talking about, I think it's important for me to emphasize to all of you that Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president or any federal office. Any endorsements made or opinions expressed are in the personal capacity of your host or the guests and do not represent the views of Washington Watch Network or, again, any of our affiliates. And as I was trying to think about what kind of an expert could really lay this out for us, I was looking at the Nice, France attacks primarily as we were planning this show. And then, of course, as we're getting ready to go on the air, breaking news reports out of Turkey regarding a possible attempted military coup of that great nation, a very powerful nation. So from all of those perspectives, I cannot think of anyone better to bring in than our first guest. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is Executive Vice President at the Family Research Council, where he works with the usual host of this show, Tony Perkins. But General Boykin has had an incredible career, the former commanding general of Delta Force, perhaps the most elite counterterrorism military unit in the world, also former commanding general of the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, Special Warfare Center, former deputy undersecretary of defense for intelligence, and in just an incredible portfolio of national security credentials in one of America's most distinguished military officers. General Boykin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you this afternoon.
Well, General, I am so glad to have your perspective today, given, again, we had terrible news out of France that we saw as we were going to bed here in the United States last night. And then again, as we're getting ready to go to air, we have an unfolding international security crisis transpiring before our eyes right now in Ankara, the capital city of Turkey. And I would love to know your thoughts. First of all, we'll just lead off with, what is your reaction to what we know or don't know right now of this unfolding crisis in Turkey?
Well, the situation is still very murky. It appears that Erdogan is at least broadcasting from some remote location. But look, coups in Turkey by the military are not that out of the norm. And what you have is you have a military that since Turkey was founded as a democracy in 1924, the military has been the one that has protected that democracy from sliding back over into becoming an Islamic republic because it's a predominantly Islamic population. And Erdogan is an Islamist. Erdogan wants very much to turn Turkey into an Islamic republic. So the military has not been on his side in this. He has purged the military. He's arrested military officers and retired military officers for being suspected of plotting coups in the past. So I think what you'll...
Looks like he might have missed one.
Well, I think you're going to discover that this was the military trying to preserve the democratic institutions in Turkey. And I think as this unfolded, that's what you're going to find this is about.
Oh, that's incredible. I'm sure we could do the whole show on breaking news. But as you said, these first reports are murky. I mean, media loves to cover what's going on, but but we don't yet know the facts of what's going on. And I appreciate your tempered and measured response on that. Let's push back to about 35,000 feet here and thinking about national security. Looking at military, of course, you and I both here right now in Cleveland, Ohio, in the run-up to the Republican National Convention, where one of America's two great political parties will be putting forth a standard-bearer, Donald Trump, who is auditioning now for the role of Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Armed Forces. If we look over the past several years, it looks like this president, we don't hear the same kind of rhetoric from him regarding the military, and we don't see the same kind of priorities that we saw with President George W. Bush, certainly not with President Ronald Reagan. Instead, it has been just one issue after another on social change, the latest being now saying that transgender individuals can openly serve as such in the U.S. military. I'd like you to start just by reacting to what looks like just a fundamentally different attitude towards the military than I think we've ever seen in a commander-in-chief before.
Well, I think that our current president is suspicious of the military, is very uncomfortable around the military. I think that he has no confidence in the generals in the military. I think that what he's done is he has, in fact, purged some of the senior leaders in our military in order to bring in people that were obligated to him and that were willing to follow his agenda. And, you know, I find his priorities for our military to be abysmal. You know, Douglas MacArthur stood in the mess hall at West Point in 1963, and he told the students gathered there, he said, "Your mission is fixed, unchanged, inviolable. It's to win the nation's wars." That has not changed, Ken. That's what our military is about. And today what we're doing is our president, our commander-in-chief, supported by our Congress, I might add, are making a lot of decisions that are destroying the readiness of our military. No focus whatsoever on enhancing our readiness. They're actually destroying it with a lot of decisions that are being made.
Well, let's say, General, that Donald Trump becomes President Trump. Now, the current flag officers, the current generals and admirals in the U.S. military have all come up through those ranks over the past almost 8 years now, with Barack Obama being the commander-in-chief and deciding who those senior officers would be. I mean, if you look at what I've heard you describe before about the loss of the warrior ethos in the U.S. military, which is something you can say, I think as a civilian, you know, I don't have the vantage point that you have as someone who served for so many years in such a distinguished role in the military. What can be done immediately regarding those senior ranks now, those military leaders, those generals and admirals?
Yeah, you know, the first thing I think the next commander-in-chief's got to do is he really has to go through and probably get rid of the top echelon of the leaders in the military. I think he's got to just send them into retirement, and he's got to bring up a new generation. Now, I believe that may require bringing back some of the proven warriors that have gone into retirement, or some of those that Obama has eliminated. I think he may have to bring some of them back in for some period of time. Because
to make sure I understand you, you're talking then about taking veterans who are now private citizens, but were formerly prominent senior military commanders, and actually recommissioning them back into uniform.
Right, bringing them out of retired status back on active duty, and that has been done in the past. So that's not a new thing. Don Rumsfeld brought Pete Schoemaker out of retirement to be the chief staff of the Army. Al Haig was brought back on active duty. There's a pattern of doing this. But look, what they have to do is they have to restore the warrior ethos. The problem we have, Ken, is you now have almost 8 years of young officers being mentored by people that they, as they look up, and they have, and their mentors above them are teaching them what they should be as an officer, a committed officer. What they're seeing is careerism. They're not seeing the warrior ethos, the warrior spirit. They are seeing careerism, and that has to stop. Because look at the video of those sailors in January that were captured by the Iranians. One of them is sitting there crying. The other one is, within 3 hours, is on a video thanking the Iranians for their hospitality and asking for their forgiveness for intruding into their waters.
Yeah, somehow when I imagine you, General, as a Delta Force commando, if you were captured on the battlefield, I just don't picture you in melting down in tears or thanking your captors.
No, and I never had to experience that. But, you know, my generation, look at Jeremiah Denton. When he was tortured mercilessly for months before he would make a public statement, and when he did, when he went on camera, he blinked in Morse code. He blinked torture. He used that as an opportunity to let the intelligence community know that our prisoners were being tortured. That's the kind of warrior ethos.
That is absolutely incredible. General, I have two quick questions, and we only have 2 minutes here, and it's because the breaking news out of Turkey. I just had to get your perspective on that. First of all, I have heard you saying some good words lately about one of Donald Trump's top foreign policy advisors, retired Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, the one who came out blazing, former commander of the Defense Intelligence Agency, criticizing the Obama administration. I've heard reports that you've had some great things to say about him. I just want your take on what use you think a future President Trump could have with someone like General Flynn.
He should appoint him as the Director of National Intelligence to replace Jim Clapper. He's the brightest intel officer in the country today.
The brightest. Now, when you were in uniform, you actually had dealings with him. Is that correct, with General Flynn?
I worked with him all the time, absolutely. He is a great intel officer with a wealth of experience, 33 years. He should be the Director of National Intelligence. He's also a reformer, and I'll tell you, the guy will do a great job.
Well, my last question, we have 40 seconds, has to do with reform, and that is that I've heard it said that you have an innovative solution for how to reduce what you see as needless waste in the military budget in terms of some people that you think that it's time for them to move on to the private sector. I want you to explain what exactly your method would be for determining who it is who can transition to a new job.
Right. Monday, go to the Pentagon, walk down the halls at 3:30 in the afternoon. Anybody that's not in their office, fire them. You don't need them. It's a bureaucracy and it's bloated.
We've been talking with retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, one of America's warriors. General, God bless. We'll be back after the break.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with a Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
What's at stake in this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's word that He is for us, and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
And we're back, America. This is Ken Klukowski, guest hosting for Washington Watch, broadcasting live from Cleveland, Ohio, where the eyes of the nation are focusing on this city on the shores of the Great Lakes, as next week, Donald Trump will become the Republican nominee to be president of the United States. We're talking today about national security. We're talking about military defense matters, foreign policy. It could not be more timely with the terrorist attacks in Nice, France last night, and then what is evidently a military coup currently underway in Turkey, in Ankara, Turkey. Our last segment with Jerry Boykin giving us a general's military assessment. Fascinating stuff. And now we're going to turn to the other half of the foreign policy equation with diplomacy and international affairs, talking with another great friend of this program, Ken Blackwell, who is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, where he works with General Boykin, a senior fellow for human rights and constitutional governance. But among the many honors that he has held during his long and distinguished career, former United States Ambassador to the United Nations Human Rights Commission. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to Washington Watch.
Ken, good to be with you, sir.
Now, I would love to have your perspective. I'm going to ask you about a conference that I know you just returned from in Paris. But before we get that, I would love your reaction to breaking news out of Turkey right now regarding this military coup, unless you think that we're still learning the facts and are not yet in a position to comment. In the last segment, General Boykin tagged President Erdogan of Turkey as an Islamist, and said that he believes that the military might be acting to protect Turkey's remaining democratic institutions. Checking to see if you have any thoughts on that first, sir.
Well, I was in Turkey extensively last year, and my assessment is similar to the general's. I think the military is the most proactive force in Turkish politics, and so given the fact that the president is an Islamist and is in fact too quick to turn a blind eye to the aggression of the jihadists. I actually think that this coup bears to be watching, but it might be a pro-Western stance, and we would then have a real line of demarcation between the Islamists and the forces, pro-democracy forces.
Now, in that same vein, talking about fighting Islamic terrorism, talking about national security, you just a few days ago returned from a Paris summit on resistance to the Ayatollahs in Iran. Iran, of course, being the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. For all of our listeners, this largest state sponsor of terrorism is the nation with which President Barack Obama decided to make a security deal regarding the security both of America and of the nation of Israel. Remember, these are the people who chant death to America and death to Israel. These are the people that Barack Obama thought it would be a good idea to make a deal with, supported by Secretary Hillary Clinton. Mr. Ambassador, what can you tell us about what the takeaway was from that Paris summit?
Well, the fact is that the diaspora of resistance to the reign of terror of the present regime in Iran is both seated in an organized multinational response that must take place, but there is a great resistance inside and among the Iranian diaspora that really want to bring reform to not only the state of Iran, but to Islam itself. And as a consequence, participants in the conference included Ambassador John Bolton, former Speaker Newt Gingrich, former Commandant of the Marines, James Conway. And essentially what we were calling for was a worldwide organized stop sign to be raised against this assault on humanity. And that meant that we had to both seed and support the resistance inside and outside of Iran by Iranians who want to bring about that reformation of the system. And we had to take a look at what damage our country had done by squaring that deal with Iran. One of the things that we know is that we freed up about $150 billion. A lot of that is being used to underwrite the reign of terror that's being visited upon the world. And as a consequence, we need a change in administration, a change in outlook in this next election here so that we can be in the forefront of putting a halt to the march of terror perpetrated by big sponsors like Iran.
Ambassador Ken Blackwell, we have just over a minute left, so two questions, two quick answers. First of all that being true, what in the world are President Obama and Hillary Clinton thinking?
Well, they are big multinationalists. They've abandoned our national interests. Secondly, they have chosen to abandon Israel, and they've also decided to isolate and marginalize pro-Western forces in Saudi Arabia. And as a consequence, what we've done is expose the forces for change undermining of their efforts by now a well-funded and encouraged regime in Iran to fund ISIS and other forces of international terrorism.
We only have 10 seconds left. Obviously, you think that President Donald Trump would have exactly the opposite, correct?
Absolutely. I think you just heard from General Boykin that there's time for some...
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
U.S. stocks having a pretty good run, there's no doubt about it, but I guess the key question is on what fundamentals. Well, there are no fundamentals to that run-up. As I talked about earlier in the week, is the fact that we continue to see outflows coming out of equities while we watch central bankers buying up equities at a higher rate than we are seeing outflows. Again, their attempt to allow the continuation of the false positives and the false narratives of the markets, forcing more and more money into the markets in this very low interest rate environment and creating a false confidence that some people may be buying into, but it doesn't look like there are many doing that. Of course, the tragedy in France will certainly prompt some sell-off in the travel industry and airline stocks, but also it is allowing traders to reflect on the real economy, real markets, and the impact of all that we've seen with one of our biggest NATO allies, France. It certainly is a tragedy, and how the government here in the United States reacts to this continued act of war will be pivotal as we move forward. One of the things that we are seeing is the Britain exit is emerging as a key concern for U.S. companies earnings reports through the rest of the year. My response to that is stop making excuses. When will the company stand up and just say that revenues have been down for the last five quarters? And the fact of the matter is the underlying fundamentals of the economy just stink.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
And America, we're back. This is Ken Klukowski, guest hosting Washington Watch, broadcasting live from Cleveland, Ohio, where next week the Republican Party will set forth a president and vice president to lead these United States of America over this next 4 years, and quite possibly a profound change in the direction and ultimately, under God, the destiny of this nation. We've been talking national security today. We've been talking terrorism. We've been talking military affairs, foreign policy. We've had a fantastic perspective from one of the nation's most distinguished military generals, also a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Now we're going to get a perspective of where the Republican Party would take the United States on these issues under a President Donald Trump. For that, we have Mr. Len Munsell, the president of Arizona Christian University from the Phoenix, Arizona area, former Republican nominee for governor of the Grand Canyon State, a longtime friend of the Christian community, not just in Arizona, but nationwide. And more than that, someone who has been here in Cleveland over the past few days, elected by the voters in the Republican Party in Arizona to represent them on the prestigious platform committee, where he was involved in crafting the language for the Republican Party platform regarding national security and defense affairs. Len, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, Ken, thanks. It's great to be with you.
Now, we've been, obviously, it's we've spent considerable time talking about the ongoing, the unfolding, as we speak, military coup in Ankara, Turkey. Both General Jerry Boykin and Ambassador Ken Blackwell, who we just had on, said that this may well be good for America, criticized the current Turkish president as an Islamist, and spoke of the military in Turkey as one of the most pro-Western forces in that country, and quite possibly acting to save democratic institutions by the actions going on right now. But this really highlights sites. What an incredibly dangerous and unstable world that we live in between this today and then that depraved terrorist attack yesterday in Nice, France. I would love your perspective on how you saw the Republican Party delegates tackling that this week in Cleveland.
Well, Ken, you're right. It's an incredibly chaotic time right now internationally. And it was an honor to serve on the National Security and Defense Subcommittee or Platform Committee for the GOP. And I guess if, you know, the simplest way to respond to what's happening in the world and what's happened under the, you know, for the last 8 years under the Obama administration is actually the words are actually contained in our platform that weakness invites aggression. And so this platform states very clearly that the Republican Party stands behind the principle of peace through strength and that the United States of America should have the strongest military in the world and the ability to have superior strength in any theater, not because we desire to go to war ever, but because a strong United States of America enforcing and in many ways supporting all of those who yearn to live in freedom is going to be the best thing for stability in the world. And, you know, it's interesting because there was one member of the platform committee who comes from a much more, America needs to just mind its own business kind of philosophy. And I'm just always reminded of the words of the Declaration, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And we have the blessing in America of having that in our core foundational document. But the words of the Declaration are universal. And our unwillingness, especially as Christians, to sometimes look around the world and see those who suffer under evil tyrants and regimes that that despise Christians and attack religious freedom, that keep their people impoverished while they live in palaces, and to turn a blind eye to that and say, well, we just need to focus on what we've got, I think is inconsistent for me as a Bible-believing Christian. And I think it's inconsistent with the history and tradition of America as a nation that, when it is able, provides support and is often in the position of liberating and offering opportunities for other people of the world to live in freedom and prosperity.
Well, Len Munsell, we have 90 seconds left, so I'm going to combine my remaining two questions into one. First, sure. The exact language that I see you voted on this week said, first of all, we believe that our nation, for our listeners, we believe that our nation is most secure when the president and the administration prioritize readiness, recruitment, and retention rather than using the military to advance a social or political agenda. Military readiness must not be sacrificed on the altar of politically correct agendas, which this administration has done. Goes on to call radical Islamic terrorism an existential threat to personal freedom. In the 10 seconds that we have left, you believe that Donald Trump will embody that language in his foreign policy?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's a commitment of the party to these principles. And that the military is about fighting and winning wars and military readiness, not radical social agenda. And so those are going to be protected under a Republican administration and the rights of Christians and chaplains that have been persecuted under this administration.
We've been talking with Len Munsell, president of Arizona Christian University. Len, we are so grateful for your time and help. Folks, we're back with your callers after the break. Thank you, Len, and God bless.
People always ask me, what all do you see in Washington, D.C. when you go on your spiritual heritage tour? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I guess the better question is, what don't we see when we go to our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour? We're going to be going in September the 14th through the 17th. The Capitol, all the monuments, the Arlington National Cemetery, the National Archives, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court. We're even going to George Washington's Mount Vernon on Saturday. So it's going to be a great time in our nation's capital. One of the best aspects of this is we get to spend time together with brothers and sisters from across the country. So if you want more information on our tour of Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon, or our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown trip, either one of those or both of those, you can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
So you're a seasoned pastor, you have a Master's of Divinity degree, but you've always wanted to get your doctorate. Now is the time for you to apply to the Doctorate of Ministries program at Wesley Biblical Seminary. Our Doctorate of Ministries in Transformational Leadership will give you the laser-like focus for pastoral ministry that you need, Bible, theology, and practical ministry application. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Apply today. Preach the word. Reach the world. WBS.edu.
Parenting is a multifaceted challenge, and it's important that our kids know our values.
Equip yourself as a parent with resources from the AFA Cultural Institute and parenting expert John Roseman. These four DVDs on biblical parenting address the issues of discipline, seasons of parenting, the folly of modern child psychology, and raising teenagers. You'll find all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th. And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
And we are back, America. This is Ken Klukowski broadcasting live for Washington Watch from Cleveland, Ohio. And we are opening up the phones. We want you to weigh in. You have heard some of the most incredible experts on national security and what the Republican Party plans to do on that vital issue. But now it's time for you to weigh in and give us your reaction at 866-372-7234. Again, the number is 866-372-7234, because ultimately that's what this show is about. You, the American people, this is about your rights, your future, your destiny, your children. And so we want to know your thoughts at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And I especially want to hear your perspective on these things, because there is no higher priority for the federal government than national security. You know, we live in an age of ignorance regarding what the constitutional system is. We are not intended to have a national government that takes the lead on education and on health care and on any number of issues. The federal government was specifically created. Those other issues, those are left to the sovereign states. The states are sovereign republics with general jurisdiction to make laws for most areas of governmental policy. The federal government was created and given enumerated powers, specified tasks by the framers of the Constitution and the American people to handle those matters and only those matters, and to do them well. And as the 10th Amendment says, to resolve all other powers to the states or to the people respectively. Of those few enumerated powers, the single most important task of the federal government is the national security of the United States, to engage in our foreign policy in the world, foreign diplomacy, our relations with other countries, our trade with other countries, and to have a military that can defend the lives and interests of the citizens of this nation. So with that, we're going to open up the lines at 866-372-7234. And we are going to start today with Julie. Julie, you're on Washington Watch. Raquel, I'm sorry. It's again, we're broadcasting live here from Cleveland, everyone. It's not in our normal studio, so we're going to start off with Raquel from Missouri. Raquel, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a 25-year veteran of the U.S. Army, and I wanted to talk about the very beginning of a soldier or airman's journey in the military. And these days, even when I joined 25 years ago, we get these kids to come in based off of what we can give them for college money. So you've got these young kids who don't know the Pledge of Allegiance, who don't know the Declaration of Independence, and they're lured into the military because we're going to give them so much money for schooling. And bottom line is, when you're in the military, and I think General Boykin said something about it, you're in there to defend your country. So that's why you're going to have Navy guys crying and apologizing for invading waters, because they don't even understand what the military is about. And that's a weak military. We need to stop it and start from the beginning. And I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to get your take on that, what you thought.
Well, first of all, Raquel, thank you for your service. I am so grateful that you would give 25 years of your life in defense of our nation, and we honor you and we thank you for your service. This is an area of policy where I'm so grateful when I get the chance to speak with not just a guest like General Boykin, but also a veteran like yourself, in that, look, I teach and practice constitutional law. I'm a journalist. I'm a policy analyst. I'm a consultant. This is an area where I do not have any expertise or credentials. I'm like most Americans in that regard. So when it comes to an opportunity like this, a talk with you like this is an opportunity for me to learn. So my reaction is to say thank you for sharing your thoughts, and really appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Raquel, and God bless. Turning now to Julie from Oklahoma. Julie, you're on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Raquel, and God bless.
Julie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
You're on Washington Watch. Ken Klukowski here. How can we help you?
Hi. I have been wanting to call for quite a while, and I'm very grateful that you say the phone number slow enough to where I can actually write it down.
I work on it. There you go. Obviously, it works for you. What's your question?
I really don't have a question as much as I have a statement.
Sure.
I listen to your show every day on the way home from work, and
you
cover a lot of topics. I'm a conservative Christian patriot. I'm a member of VAR, which is Daughters of the American Revolutionary. My dad is in the SAR, he's a retired military and retired from Boeing. So he's very much a patriot as well. And I have studied a lot over this election. I was a Trump supporter from the very beginning. I didn't really toggle between Trump and Cruz because there were some things about Cruz that was unsettling in my spirit. I don't know a lot about Trump's running mate that he chose today, but I am glad it's not Newt.
Well, tell you what, Julie, there's an awful lot to be said about Governor Mike Pence. I've done a full analysis on my end, looking at the pros and cons. If you go to Breitbart.com, you Google Klukowski, Breitbart, Mike Pence. I did a 3,000-word profile on the Indiana governor, and I think that may give you plenty of information to chew on that. So we're seeing all sorts of reactions coming out, and you'll have my analysis there again if you check that out at Breitbart.com. Thank you, Julie, for calling in. And I'll tell you, folks, as we're talking, I know national security is a topic that a lot of people agree on. If you disagree with what you've been hearing on this program, we want to know. We're not looking for yes men here. We're not looking for an echo chamber. It's, we want a debate. We want iron to sharpen iron. We want to be able to hear all perspectives and views on this. So if you think that we are just completely off base, call in, tell us, and tell a million of your fellow Americans at 866-372-7234. Again, 866-372-7234. And we are turning now to Richard from North Carolina. Richard, you're on Washington Watch.
Hey, good afternoon. I have mostly a question. First off, I'm very concerned of where this nation is heading and the distance that we've gotten from the Constitution. And my question for you is, how much do you understand and can you explain to me the Convention of the States?
I do understand, and I'm happy to explain. The U.S. Constitution establishes in Article 5 of the Constitution two ways that it can be modified. Now, either way you look at it, it's called an amendment. But there are two ways the Constitution can be amended. One is that an amendment to the Constitution can be proposed to the states if it's approved by two-thirds of the U.S. House of Representatives and two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. Then it's sent out to the sovereign states, and it requires three-fourths of the states to ratify it. And if so, it becomes part of the Constitution. Over 1,000 amendments have been proposed over time. Only 27 have been adopted, Richard. So it's a pretty rigorous process. So with the current numbers in government, that means 290 congressmen, 67 U.S. senators, and a majority of legislators in 38 of the 50 states. If you do that, you get an amendment to the Constitution. The only other way to do it is by a convention of the states. And that can occur, that does occur, when two-thirds of the states, so 34 states, pass resolutions calling for a constitutional convention, a convention of the states. And if so, they elect delegates who gather from all over the country, and they can, and they, as a convention, can propose amendments to the Constitution. They still have to go to the states, though. The states have to ratify them. Three-fourths of the states have to. So the barrier for changing the Constitution remains the same. The one thing that a convention can do that Congress cannot is a convention could draft an entirely new Constitution and propose that we completely throw out our current Constitution in favor of a new one. But again, it has to be ratified by three-fourths of the states. And I have to say, in the increasingly desperate times that we find ourselves in, if Congress is unwilling, we've never had a convention of the states. A couple of the amendments in the Constitution only came about because states started calling for a convention, so finally Congress caved and just passed out whatever the amendment was that was really gnawing on the people, and it went out to the states. We may be getting to a time where that's the case now, whether it's a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution or a family marriage amendment or several of these other issues, something like that may actually drive a convention of the states. Does that answer your question?
Oh, very thorough explanation. I thank you. Right. I've been aware of that, and you've really helped me understand it, and I appreciate it. And bless you guys for all you're doing.
Well, God bless you, Richard. Thank you. And yes, on a show on national security where I didn't expect to have much to add, we got back into my strong suit with someone asking me a question on constitutional law. Thank you, Richard. Turning now to Jeff, also from the Tar Heel State, North Carolina. Jeff, you're on Washington Watch.
Yes, I just have a comment about our military. I consider myself a patriot, and I love our military, and I support our troops. However, I just question the use of the whole military complex to further democracy across the whole globe.
Well, I think there's a number of people, Jeff, who would agree with you on that. It looks like there's a real division of opinion on that. Certainly, if there is a culture, I would love for every nation on the earth to be a democratic republic, to be a self-governing people. But there appears to be countries where that's not happening, and where it seems like there are large numbers of people who don't necessarily welcome it, or at least don't want to embrace democracy the way that we understand it. So I think that it's I've heard a division of opinion on this issue from people that I respect, some of them on both sides within the conservative wing of the Republican Party. So it's whether you're right or wrong, you're certainly not alone, Jeff, and we appreciate you calling in. Turning now to Charles from Missouri. Charles, you're on Washington Watch.
Hi, I appreciate your show and the Washington Watch. My question was, security of the United States. We got away from profiling, and the Muslim terrorists used two different things. They used the Quran and the Sharia law, and they changed their names to when they switched to Muslims. Being a Muslim as well, why aren't we taking that into account that when they do their terrorist acts before they do that, they get in touch with the terrorists, they change their name to switch over to be Muslim? How can we get that clear to the government?
Well, I'll tell you, Charles, you're touching on a real hot-button issue there in this regard, and that is that, of course, there are people of all groups who are completely peaceful people, and no doubt there are, well, not just no doubt, there are certainly, I mean, I know some of them, I'm sure you probably do too, you know, there are plenty of peace-loving Muslims out there. But you're absolutely right that this is political correctness run amok in terms of people saying, oh, you dare not mention where they come from or what their faith is. That is just idiotic. You know, the Constitution, as Justice Robert Jackson once said, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. The Constitution is not a pledge to be stupid and blind, especially when someone is threatening your life or the life of your children. Security threats should be analyzed with every factor that is relevant to terrorism. I don't know about you, but I don't know of any murderous legions of evangelical Christians running around the world cutting off the heads of people that they're calling infidels. You know, I don't know of evangelical Christian communities where they're taking gay people and throwing them off buildings and everyone cheering as they fall to their deaths. The reality is that we need, from a security threat analysis, the Constitution does not erect any obstacle to the government looking at every factor about you. Are you male or female? And by the way, that means we have to recognize biological sex, none of this transgender stuff. Are you male or female? How old are you? What country are you from? And among countless other questions, again, what a person's faith is, because there is a significant minority within the Muslim religion who espouse a murderous ideology. And if we can identify those people up front, maybe we can't stop every attack, but I think we can stop more than we have. Thank you, Charles. Our last caller today, Evan from Texas. We just have a few seconds if you have a quick question on Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. I was just curious on your views of Libertarian presidential nominee Jerry Johnson, sir.
I think a vote for Gary Johnson is a vote for Hillary Clinton. I'll say that flat out. There is zero chance he will be president of the United States. There's zero chance he's going to carry a single state. It's a binary choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Maybe Donald Trump wasn't your first choice. Maybe he wasn't your second. You have a choice. It's either him or Hillary Clinton. One of those two will be president. Anyone not voting for Trump is voting for Hillary Clinton, and I'm not sure we're going to recognize this country if we elect Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. Folks, that's all the time we have. God bless. Catch us next time on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.